All right. Thank you for being with us today. We're glad that you've tuned in, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I hope that you'll take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures as we look at some information about how you can understand your Bible. The purpose in these messages always is to give you information that will help you to better understand the Bible. And at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you information how you can contact us if you have questions or comments. Today we want to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, a verse that we looked at last week, and we want to continue looking at some simple scriptural facts about dispensational truth. Dispensational truth has to do with rightly dividing the word of truth, as we're instructed to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Apostle Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." The reason I started there this week and last week is because many times when you make a distinction between the ministry of the Apostle Paul and, for example, Peter and the 12, people will say, well, much of what Paul was writing was simply his opinion, and therefore, I believe that we ought to follow the words of Jesus. There are a lot of people that put a lot of stock in the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they say those are the words that we ought to try to follow. Well, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul makes it clear that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He makes it clear that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And in the verse that we just read right here, he makes it extremely clear that if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, he has to acknowledge that he says, "The things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Now, in the lesson last week and the lesson this week, we're looking at some things I call undisputable facts. These things are simply scriptural facts, and while there are many things that can be debated about the Bible and we can argue over and so forth or discuss, there are certain facts that simply by what is written in the Bible we can see and understand. We looked at six of those last week, and let me quickly give you those six. First of all, we looked at the fact that under the kingdom message, as under the law, salvation was always manifested by works, whereas under grace, salvation is manifested by not doing anything for our salvation other than believing. Secondly, we looked at the fact that Christ specifically taught his disciples and others to keep the law, while Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that we're not under the law. The third thing we looked at is that baptism, which is a work, was a specific part of the commission given to the 12, and yet Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "Christ sent me not to baptize." The fourth thing we looked at was that Jesus taught that forgiveness was conditional. He said in Matthew chapter 6, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your trespasses." While Paul said in Colossians 2 verse 13 that God has forgiven us all trespasses. We also looked at the fact that Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 12 that there was an unpardonable sin. While the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13 verse 39 says, "By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So we see that Paul taught there was not an unpardonable sin. And then the last thing we looked at was that Jesus told the 12 to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said in Matthew 24, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." Whereas Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, as I said, all those things are without question. They're simply a matter of believing the verses mean what they say. And if you do that, you cannot dispute the fact of those six things that we just mentioned. Now, today I want us to look at some additional scriptural facts that we can come to simply by reading and believing the Word of God. The first one I want you to notice is that Peter, and the 12 preached that their sins would be blotted out at the second coming. Whereas the Apostle Paul preached that Christ died for our sins, and he said we have now received the atonement. Let's look at a couple of verses. First of all, in Acts chapter 3, in verse 19. In Acts 3:19, Peter, speaking to the men of Israel, he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Notice that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. But what did Paul say? Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Also, in Romans chapter 5, Paul said in verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now, it's really not enough simply to identify the differences. We need to understand why there's a difference. The reason there is a difference is because the salvation for the nation Israel was national salvation, but it was also salvation that was promised through the giving or the fulfillment of the new covenant. Read Hebrews chapter 8. This is the covenant that He's made, the new covenant that He's made with the house of Israel. What is that covenant? Well, you can read about it in Jeremiah 31:31. He said that He's going to place His laws in their heart, and their sins will He remember no more. There'll be no need for every man to teach his neighbor. He said, "For all shall know Me." When's that going to take place? Acts 3:19. Peter said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." But you see, today in the dispensation of the grace of God, we're not looking for our sins to be blotted out. We know that our sins have already been blotted out. They're all under the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We know that Christ died for our sins. He said we've now received the atonement. He said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. And that's one of the glorious truths of rightly dividing the word of truth. It's because it helps us understand that today in this dispensation, salvation is not dependent upon us confessing our sins, turning from our sins, repenting of our sins. Salvation is dependent upon us trusting in what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. And that is a wonderful and glorious truth. Peter preached, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Paul made it clear that our sins have already been blotted out. We already have received the atonement. Another thing that we notice that is different between Peter and Paul: Peter, the apostle that was given the keys of the kingdom and was told to go to the house of Israel, and in Acts 2 he said over and over, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." We see that when Peter preached that Christ was raised from the dead, he specifically said that Christ was raised from the dead to sit on the throne of David. Now that's important because, again, it goes to exactly what we were talking about a moment ago. Christ was raised from the dead to sit on the throne. What was Israel's hope? Israel's hope was for an earthly kingdom. Jesus taught the 12 to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so they were looking for a kingdom to come, and a kingdom must have what? A king. And so they were waiting for Christ to come, and their sins would be blotted out when the time of refreshing would come in the presence of the Lord. And so Peter's declaration was, "Is it this Jesus whom you've crucified? God hath raised Him up." In Acts 2:29, he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So the idea was that Christ had been raised to sit upon a throne. But you know what Paul said about that? Paul never mentions Christ being raised to sit upon a throne. He does mention his resurrection over and over again. And in 2 Timothy 2:8, he says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." We read that gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What was that gospel? Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. And in Romans 4, 25, Paul expands upon the truth of the resurrection when he says he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, the resurrection was the same. It was simply how it was viewed by the two writers of the Bible. Peter, looking for an earthly kingdom to be established, said he was raised to sit on the throne of David. Paul, looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was raised for our justification. That is, when he came forth from the grave, our sins had been paid for on the cross, and it was a done deal, if you will, when God raised him from the dead, declaring that he was the Son of God. Not only that, but as we continue to look at Peter and Paul and the differences in their ministry and their message, we see that Peter, as I mentioned a moment ago, in Matthew 24, was told to preach that gospel of the kingdom. They were told to start at Jerusalem, and the children would first be fed. And Jesus Christ himself was declared to be a minister of the circumcision. In Matthew 10, verse 5, the Bible says, after it names the 12 there, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not." Do you realize that if you that are listening to this broadcast right now had lived during that time, Jesus Christ was not sending the disciples out to you. As a matter of fact, he specifically told them, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, consider what the Apostle Paul, our Apostle, said in Romans chapter 15, in verse 8. Romans 15, in verse 8, Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Think about that. You know, the majority of the world don't understand that, folks. They believe that Jesus Christ just simply came to save all men, and he did, but that was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. But when he was here on earth, his ministry was to Israel. That's what Paul says there. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Circumcisions were Jews and Jewish proselytes. And it was for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. But Paul said concerning his ministry, down in verse 16 of the same chapter, he said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. And in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, he said, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." So Jesus Christ himself was a minister of the circumcision, that is, the Jews, as were the 12, and Paul was a minister to the Gentiles. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, the most important aspect of that is simply the truth of the gospel. So we can clearly proclaim how a person is saved today in the dispensation of grace, and that is by grace, through faith, apart from works. But there are many things that we read in the Scriptures that not only tell us how we're saved, they tell us how we need to conduct our life during this present age, as contrasted to how they would conduct their life during that kingdom age or the time when the kingdom of heaven was at hand. So what are you talking about? Well, let me give you a couple of examples. Jesus Christ taught that there was no need for the disciples to work for a living since the kingdom was at hand. So where did he teach that? Well, in Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" And in Acts chapter 2, we see the disciples followed those instructions. Acts 2, verse 45, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need." For those of you that believe the church started in Acts chapter 2, you need to consider why you are not following the practices of that church in Acts 2. Why you are not doing that which they did. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he said, "If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." You see, what Christ taught was in relation to the coming kingdom, which was postponed when Paul was saved and the dispensation of the grace of God, a parenthetical time period, was inserted into God's program. Jesus Christ taught concerning prayer to the disciples, something drastically different than that which the Apostle Paul experienced. Jesus Christ in Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8 said, "And it shall be, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened." I can't tell you the number of people today that have become discouraged in their prayer life because they have claimed promises that were made to the nation Israel. Should we pray? Absolutely we should pray. But we need to understand that we're not operating under those kingdom promises that were given to the 12, such as the one I just read there. "Everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." How do we know we're not operating under that? Well, our apostle, the Apostle Paul, tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." This thing that he's referring to is the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, if Paul had been operating under the instructions of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, God would have immediately removed it from him, because that's what he said he would do, "Ask and you shall receive." But that's not the answer Paul got. And so Paul goes on to say, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So does that mean we shouldn't pray? No, it doesn't. It means we should pray. Does that mean God doesn't answer prayer today? No, it doesn't. God does answer prayer today. What that does mean is that we don't have a specific promise that whatsoever we ask, we're going to receive it. As a matter of fact, Paul said that we are so weak in the infirmities of our flesh that we know not what to pray for as we ought, and so Jesus Christ Himself makes intercession for us. So today, don't be discouraged if you don't get an answer to your prayer. You've never been promised you'd get an answer to your prayer, but you have been promised that God's grace is sufficient. There have been multitudes of people who have prayed for loved ones to be healed, for loved ones to recover, and it didn't happen. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient. So whereas Jesus taught concerning prayer, "Ask and you shall receive," the Apostle Paul, our apostle, clearly stated that when he prayed, he did not get an answer to his prayer, but God said, "My grace is sufficient." Now, the last thing I want to mention today, as far as these facts, and this is very important because this is one thing that people absolutely, is rampant in religion today. And it's the idea of revelation beyond the Word of God. You see, Jesus Christ specifically taught the 12 that they would have a supernatural endowment of knowledge. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, he said, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in the hour, that speak you. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Now, today there are multitudes of people that operate on the premise that God told them to do something specifically apart from His Word. And many times even contrary to His Word. I heard a man just this week on television, very sad situation, very sad story. A man and his wife with 7 children. Their water had been turned off. The gas had been turned off to the house. They were 5 months behind on their mortgage. And within 2 weeks were going to be put out on the street. And this man would not go out and get a job because he said he was following the path of the Lord. He said the Lord would provide. And the Lord had told him He would. And somebody there on the program read the verse there from 1 Timothy that if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than himself. But this man was convinced that the Lord was speaking to him and telling him things that were contrary to the Word of God, and his family was suffering as a consequence of that. Listen, folks, it's important that we understand about rightly dividing the Word of truth so that we can walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord and in a way that God can use and honor in this dispensation of grace. Why, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the verse we started out with this morning, said clearly, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now I want to ask you something. If there was no need to take thought for what you were going to say or what you were going to teach, but you had this option from the Holy Ghost, as 1 John says, why in the world would we be instructed, to study to show ourselves approved unto God? I'll tell you why. Because there's a change that took place. All of the things that God was doing with and among the nation Israel were for Israel. And that's why you must rightly divide the word of truth, or you're going to end up in total confusion about how you should be operating, how you should be conducting your life, what your walk should be in the present dispensation in which we're living. If you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to live under that doctrine, you're going to end up in confusion and discouragement. You were given 13 books in your Bible. They're Romans through Philemon. They're the writings of the Apostle Paul. And they're the instructions for the church, which is his body. Are we to read all the Bible? Yes, we are. Is all the Bible equally inspired? Yes, it is. But you know what? It's not all written directly to us. It's all written for us. And that's why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." You want real understanding today? You're going to have to get it by rightly dividing the word of truth. By acknowledging that the truth for you today is found in your Bible in Romans through Philemon, the epistles of the Apostle Paul. We're not worshiping Paul. We're not putting any more emphasis on Paul than God did. God's the one that said he was the apostle to the Gentiles. God's the one that said he was given the gospel of the grace of God. God is the one that said Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. It's not us that said that. It's God that said that. Clearly and plainly in his word. Now as we close this morning, or today, I want you to understand something that I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast. And that is that the importance of all of these truths is ultimately to point us to the truth that today salvation is by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11 verse 6 says, "If by grace, then it is no more of works, Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works and it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. I want you to understand above everything else that today, if you're not saved, you can be saved by believing the gospel and trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. That's more important than anything else that we've talked about. All these other things are important so that you might know how to conduct your life today. But the most important thing above everything else is for you to understand that today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, salvation is by grace, through faith, apart from works. There's no water baptism. There's no confession of sins. There's no repentance. There's no walk in the aisle. None of those things have any value today as far as your salvation is concerned. The only thing that has value is the preaching of the cross, which the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation. So I would encourage you to consider what has been said here and consider that there is a difference in your Bible. Whereas the 12 were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Paul was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And today we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And just like the other things that we mentioned, if you're going to receive Christ as your Savior, you're going to have to do it biblically. You're going to have to receive Him as the Bible says. And that is to trust in what He did for you at Calvary. That's the only way that a person can be saved today. And when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus there, he said, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." And he goes on to say that after they heard that, he said, "You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." I trust today that if you're not saved, that you would take heed to the things that you've heard here. The importance of understanding the difference between the doctrine for the nation Israel and the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. These facts that we've pointed out, as I said before, you might argue with a lot of different things, but you cannot dispute the words that are written down on the page. If the Bible means anything, then those words are true. And the Bible is true. It is God's pure, perfect, preserved word. And so I hope you will consider these things, and above everything else, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, realize today, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saves. He died for our sins. He paid for every one of them at Calvary. And you can be saved right this moment, wherever you are, just by simply believing that gospel and trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. I hope you'll do that, and I hope you'll tune in again next week as we continue to look at ways that will help our scriptures.